Thank you, David. Yeah, I can't read that myself. Yeah, let me just start off by introducing you to the reality, the TV reality winners for American agriculture today. You know, this is the picture that most of American public have of agriculture, and at particularly agricultural corn yield contests or any contest, is of these winners. Endorsements, publicity, Twitter feeds, Facebook pages, what have you. Why, this is the reality TV today. Who could forget the full-size cardboard cutout of Kip Cullors that greeted you at every turn of the corner at the Commodity Classic this past year? A nightmare, to be sure. All righty, let's move on from that. But contests, really, as you've heard today, are a lot more than just winning. You know, they're building relationships, they're finding out how yield trends in the state, they're finding out production practices. For the most part, they're about learning. And if you look at a yield contest form, such as this one from North Carolina Corn Yield Contest or from the National Yield Contest, most of the information that's required or gathered on that form is about learning about the production practices of the grower and what he's doing to achieve those yields here. In our contest, we have several areas where of information we collect. Whoops, that's the wrong way. There we go. Let's see if this will work. There. Irrigation and tillage practices. We just ask them, was it irrigated? Typically, we haven't had a lot of irrigation in the state, so we'd like to know whether it's an irrigated entry and what tillage practices, and we ask them to delineate some of the practices that they use to till. We ask them about planting management, hybrid seeding rates, row width, planting dates, previous year crop. We get fertilizer information, total amounts in P and K, when fertilizer was applied, how they applied that fertilizer, if they used a starter fertilizer. A lot more detailed information could be accumulated here over the years. However, we've actually tended to draw back a little bit because, as been mentioned already, it's often difficult for producers to remember what their fertilizer amounts were, and we found our information wasn't as accurate. So we went to trying to get basic types of information here over the past 10 years. And then we get stuff about pest management, seed treatments, herbicides, the pesticides, and of course the new one with fungicides in the use of corn today. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we don't ask information in regards to how high that yield was. We get information about calculating yield. We must have scale tickets and weights for measurement. We have to have some kind of documentation there. As Craig already mentioned, we have a 5-acre limit as to the size of the field, but within that 5-acre, we actually measure 1 acre. Of a given hybrid in order to qualify that yield for the contest. And of course then, and that measurement has to be done by tape or chain rather than by GPS or some other method. And finally, it must be certified by an agent or other recognized person who has authority to sign off on that yield. So we do get yield certification information. We have 7 contest areas across the state of North Carolina to represent different regions because, remember, we're trying to learn something, and we're trying to learn something about the individual farmer's environment and how best to put that corn into that environment. So we got regions in the east. There, number 1 is the Tidewater, represented by mostly organic soils. In the west there, number 6 is the mountains. Those are mostly mountain valley situations. And then 4 and 5 are the Piedmont, and 2 and 3 are the coastal plain, and we divide those into northern and southern regions. Again, trying to get to individual practices rather than statewide information. And as a result, we have winners represented in all of those categories. If you got good enough glasses, or if you got a microscope or a binocular in the craft, you'll see that 3 out of these regions had over 300 bushel yield entries in 2014. All right, let's get to the learning here. What can we learn from the gathering this kind of information that can help us in directing farmers and helping them adjust their practices? Well, first of all, we look at trends. And I think it's very useful to look at how trends have changed over the years, particularly in this century with the contest over the past 15 years. The first line there talks about entries. We've ranged in the first 8 years of the contest there in this century from 325 to 48 entries. Those were mostly changed because, as you might guess, some of those good years? Well, everybody wants to have that yield in the contest. And a year where we had dry weather, nobody wants to put that yield in the contest. So it varies a lot of that by the type of year. You can see our irrigated entries, very low, and they represent pretty well the percentage of irrigation in the state of North Carolina, anywhere from 3 to 10% in the early part of this century. No-till, about 40 to 50% of our land is no-till, primarily in the Piedmont, again, reflected here in the contest entries. Average hybrid, Pioneer dominates our market, or at least did in the early part of this century, represents a number of different Pioneer hybrids that have been used. One of the biggest changes, I think, that's interesting to point out, and let me see if I can make this work without that, I knew I was going to do that. One of the biggest changes comes here with insecticide, going from counter to poncho. That was a tremendous change in our environment there, going from counter 15G, 20G at fairly high rates, to almost entire switch over to a seed treatment, poncho 1250. Herbicides, the Bicep, Atrazine, Atrex, you can see was a very standard practice across entries and as well as across most growers. And then you can see a seeding rate and row width, the trends that are starting to become a clear there just by looking at averages. And finally, the ratio of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, these are total amounts of pounds of fertilizer applied, ranged in nitrogen from 146 to as high as 188. And the ratio of N and P and K is fairly standard over the years. So pretty good idea what these trends look like. Here's what they look like in the last 7 years here. A couple things to note here. First of all, the percent irrigated. In the last 4 years, we've seen a doubling of irrigated acres in the state of North Carolina reflected here in the data that we're collecting in the yield contest. You also note that Pioneer lost their hold on the hybrid market. In the last 4 years, we've had a tremendous diversity of hybrids in the contest. Pioneer no longer holding the lead role. And finally, go down looking under herbicides, look at that post-herbicide. We've gone from Accent, ALS inhibitor, to Roundup and Atra. Finally, even despite our best advice, farmers caved in and started using Roundup primarily as their post-emerge, even to the point of not using a metolachlor and going with straight Atrex as a pre. So you get a pretty good idea what these trends, first of all, and grower practices are and how they reflect as you look at yield contest entries. Finally, let's look at the information that we glean from the yields that we gather from the contest here. The graph on the left, on your left, is all entries. You look down there, Y equals 3.19. We're basically making 3.2 bushel yield increase per year. Not quite as good as those guys in Pennsylvania. There's our top 10%. Interesting enough, that, as Craig pointed out, your better growers tend to be dividing themselves from the pack. And this is true about average yields, about yield contest yields, even about the top 10% of the corn growers in the yield contest are dividing themselves from the pack and gaining an advantage year in and year out. So indeed, that gives you an idea. You can see the diversity as well as some of these yields. You notice we had yields up over 350 bushels there, as low as below 100 in some years where growers put in a contest entry despite what we would consider to be a yield not really likely to win. Here's the trend in plant population. You saw that trend in the averages earlier. Here it's given with the diversity and the data that we've collected over the last 15 years. Again, you notice that we're about 494 seeds per acre increase in plant populations over that period of time. About 27% described the variability in that. Yeah, and you notice we got populations as high as 60,000 seeds per acre and down there as low as about 20,000 seeds per acre. Now, one thing that's interesting about this relationship, if you look at the top 10%, you would think that the top 10% would be increasing at a more rapid pace in plant population than the average yield, but that's not true here. There are actually only 438 seeds per acre per year. And you can see, again, they got more diversity in how they're willing to try different things. They already started at a higher population, And there, I think we're seeing the limitation of increasing population in their results versus the average contest entry. Here's what we've seen in row spacing here, a slight decrease, about half an inch per year over the last 15 years in the all entries, only about 0.1 or 0.2 inches in the top, again, the top growers. Basically started at a narrow row spacing, and we're seeing that trend basically flatten out there. Then finally, nitrogen rates. So what's happened to nitrogen in yield contest entries? Basically, we've had an increase in 2 pounds of N per year in the all entries, and roughly a little less than that in the top 10% of the entries. Again, top 10% started with more nitrogen per acre, and haven't really increased as rapidly as the rest of the entries. All right, and this holds true. These trends, you've seen these already from the previous two speakers, these trends hold true pretty well across all of our regions and in the counties where we have a large number of contest entries, such as Pasquotank County. You can see these same types of trends. Yield increasing by 2 bushels, seeding rate increasing by 700 seeds per acre, nitrogen rate increasing by 5 pounds, and row spacing decreasing almost by an inch or 0.9 inches per year. So that's interesting to see those same type of trends play out. Now, the question that I wanted to know was how closely did this increase in yield relate to any of these factors? Our first thought or look at some of these things is to say, oh, yeah, we got to increase seeding rate, reduce row spacing, increase the nitrogen rates maybe slightly in order to achieve these high yields. Is that really true, or are we reading into this as something that's really not there? Well, of course, the elephant in the room is genetics, isn't it? What's happened to genetics over that time, and how is it influencing this yield trend that we see out here? Well, the nice thing about yield contest is these growers are using the best genetics they can find. And we can assume that the hybrid companies are placing in their hands the best genetics they feel are appropriate for that region. So if we can make those assumptions there, why, we can look at how genetics has influenced these yields over time by holding seeding rate, row spacing, and basically nitrogen rate constant here. We can look at this genetic influence. So we got the hybrids that you can see there from Pioneer. We've made about half a bushel increase per year from genetics. Now, this is all of these hybrids are post-BT. They do include new stacked hybrids over time. They do include some hybrids with different herbicide technologies, but these are all post-BT hybrids that are represented, about half a bushel per year. Not much. If we add the effect of population to that, we see we're going from half a bushel to a little over a bushel now per year. Remember, I said we were 3.2 bushels increase overall. So we're not accounting for all of that, but at least almost half of that increase. If we look at the influence of row spacing, no real change or influence of row spacing in the Pioneer hybrids there. And the same could be said if I had put up nitrogen. Nitrogen's not influencing that yield increase. Last few slides. Here's the corollary to Pioneer. There's Monsanto. Here's the same information from the Monsanto hybrids used in the contest. Again, holding seeding rate and row spacing constant. Half a bushel again a year increase accounted for by hybrid. If we add the impact of population, now we see that population by hybrid influence is almost 3 bushels, not quite, 2.8 bushels per year, accounting for most of that increase, and probably accounting for the reason why Pioneer has lost some of their dominance in this market and seen the increase or influence in and Monsanto, the ability of those Monsanto hybrids to respond more to this population vector. And there's row spacing, about 0.7 increase. So there's a little bit of influence on row spacing on that. So in conclusion, we can use this information. It's very valuable in looking at yield trends over time, seeing what kind of practices are influencing growers in your area. And we've certainly seen that in the conversations we've had already today. It's interesting to look at the influence of genetics in our market. Only about half a bushel per year But then when genetics are combined with population, with management, that's where some of these gains that we're seeing in the field are coming from. It'd be better if we could collect even more information. But as has been pointed out by some of these questions today, as I mentioned earlier, it's difficult. You're collecting information from a grower who's very interested in this yield, but not so interested in what filling out this long form with lots of questions on there. It's got to be quick. It's got to be information that he has at least a handle on or a thumbnail idea of what he's doing, and it's going to require us to balance the need for more information against what that grower can provide. David, with that, I'll certainly, if we got time for questions, take some.
I'm going to ask everyone to hold their questions, maybe till the break for Ronnie, but let's give him a hand for his presentation.